I never am able to finish, so I don't have any formal ending when we pass from one tzaddik to another tzaddik, because I feel that it's simply a disgrace and a terrible injustice that I do to any tzaddik to talk about his life, that it's not our place to talk about the lives of such people, to try to understand who we're talking about, and certainly when it comes to their teachings, to spend a few weeks, which we've spent so far, on the Ishbitzer, on the Reb Pinchas Karitzer, and the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. And we're going to begin now with a different tzaddik, to discuss a different tzaddik. This is the first discussion. And here we have much more detailed biographical facts. So we'll spend more weeks in the biography, simply because his life was carefully chronicled. The later that you get in Chassidus, the more you're going to see careful records being kept of the lives of tzaddikim, whereas in the earlier generations, such as the Toldos Yaakov Yosef or Pinchas Karitzer, and the Baal Shem Tov for sure, there was very little work that was done to chronicle their lives, and whatever their, you know, stories that were circulating were generally to a great extent of fabrications and so on, and we don't really know what's authentic from the earlier tzaddikim. But regarding the life of the tzaddik we're going to talk about now, for the next couple of months, his life is very well chronicled and fascinating. And we're going to hear today's story also about his mother, one of the most touching stories, I think, in all Hasidic tradition. We're going to begin to talk about the Holy Rebbe, the Tzaddik, Rebbe Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzaddik of Lubavitch, the third Lubavitch Rebbe. If you haven't heard, there's a lot to talk about who the Tzemach Tzaddik was. After the Balatanya, his son, the Mittler Rebbe, the Middle Rebbe, as he's called, Rebbe of Dov Be'er, was the second Admor, the second Rebbe of Lubavitch. And the third Rebbe of Lubavitch was the grandson, was Rebbe Menachem Mendel, of whom the past Lubavitch Rebbe Zecher Tzaddik Levracha was a direct descendant. Menachem Mendel was a direct descendant, and that's the family name is Schneerson, because the descendants of they proudly connect themselves to the Baal Tanya, whose name was Rabbi Schneer Zalman, although his family name was not Schneerson. The Baal Tanya's family name was Rabinovich. But the descendants of the Baal Tanya call themselves Schneerson. So Rabbi Menachem Mendel, the Tzemach Tzedek, like his grandfather, was an extraordinary example of a Hasidish Rebbe who was at the same time considered to be from the Gaonei Hador, of the great, great Torah geniuses, towering Torah geniuses of that time, who was widely respected by Hasidim and Misnagdim alike, by those who were opposed to the Hasidim for his Torah scholarship, and he did a lot to contribute to the credibility of the Hasidic movement when the Gedolim of Lithuania came into personal contact, and we'll spend a few weeks talking about some remarkable meetings that he had with these Gedolim. When they came into personal contact with the Tzemach Tzedek, they were astounded by his knowledge of Torah. The famous Rav of Kovna, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Inspector, was considered to be the posek of the generation. So we have a statement from Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan that when he received in the mail a copy of the tshuvas of the halachic responsa of the Tzemach Tzedek that are called Tzemach Tzedek. When he received the first volume, which came out in Evan HaEzer, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan commented, "Eich efshal ligdal kol kach b'toyer b'nigla." He says, "I don't understand how this man, the Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel, I don't understand how this man became so great in the study of revealed Torah, meaning Shas, Gemara, and so on, Halacha. I don't understand." "V'ani batzmi re'isiv misasik l'rov b'sisrei Torah." Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, "I myself, when I saw him, when I was there by him, I saw that he spends most of his time studying the secrets of Torah, Kabbalah. Umak this shows shleimus letfilah avodah shamayim ulan hagas hachasidim, and he spends an extraordinary amount of time davening and avodah shamayim with his mitzvahs and lan hagas hachasidim, and taking care of the needs of the chasidim." So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan says, "I don't understand how the man had time to become such a scholar." We'll talk about this later on, that by the time his life was over, that Tzemach Tzedek had written, which was counted, was over 480,000 pages of Chidushei Torah. over 480,000 pages of Chidushei Torah. That means large pages, not little. Large pages, and you know how they used to write. I'll show you a picture of his handwriting, tiny little print, like double column, with all around the sides, through the margins on top, over 480,000 pages, and there's still work that's being done on his Kisvei Yad. Work is still being done to put out his writings. That's a lot of publishing. And to date, there are dozens and dozens of volumes of his writings in Chassidus, and on Shas, and Gemara, and Halacha, and so on. And we're going to continue to see Mitzvah Hashem. So Rabbi Yisrael Chanan said, how could it be that such a human being who is so busy with davening and with mitzvahs, you know, he was spending hours of the day davening, and then he spent so much time seeing the chassidim who would come to him by the thousands with personal problems and requests. So Rabbi Yisrael Chanan said, how could it be that he became so great in Torah to have written such a sefer, the Tzemach Tzedek? So Rabbi Yisrael Chanan said, the only explanation you can find is as follows. He says, "Ein zos ela shemishtayich lechassidim harishonim." It must be that the Tzemach Tzedek is not from the Heintek of Chassidim. He doesn't belong of the category. Rabbi Yisrael Chanan was not a tremendous fan of the new brand of Chassidim. Not that he was from the strong opponents, really, but he wasn't a great admirer of the movement per se. So he said the Tzemach Tzedek is not really a member of the new Chassidim. He's from the Chassidim harishonim, the kind that are mentioned in the Gemara. The righteous of the days of the Gemara, Sha'omru aleihem b'Yushalmi. Rabbi Yisrael says that it says in the Yushalmi, quote, Al yidei shahoyu chasidim haisa brocha nitenes b'tarasa. Because they were truly righteous, their Torah was blessed. Now what does it mean their Torah was blessed? It means these chasidim rishonim, these early chasidim. So Rabbi Yisrael says that the Tzemach Tzedek belongs to the early chasidim, not from the Heintek chasidim. And the early chasidim, their Torah was blessed. And how is it blessed? So the Pnei Moshe says over there in the Yushalmi, because I wasn't sure what it meant, you know, how what did Rabbi Yisrael Chanan mean? So I looked up in the Yushalmi, and the Pnei Moshe writes, the commentary in the Yushalmi says, Shehitzlichu lahoven ulahaskil miyad veloha yushohen. That the Chassidim Yishonim, they were so righteous, because, you know, the problem was, you see there in the Mishnah, in Brachas, that if you count up the hours of the day that they used to, between the preparations for davening and davening, so how many hours a day are we talking about? 9 hours a day. They were involved in davening, the Chassidim Yishonim. So the Yerushalmi says, so how did they become so great in learning? So the answer of the Yerushalmi is that because they were Chassidim, because they were truly righteous, so they had this special bracha that when they were learning, they would understand something, they would grasp it completely and immediately. Laha Yishohin. And the Bavli says, Shetarosin Mishtameres, that their Torah was preserved. Whatever they learned, they were able to preserve, they were able to hold on to. In truth, the Tzemach Tzedek himself once explained, when he was older, that the Maharil wrote, that Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi's grandson, listen to this, it's very interesting, that Rabbeinu Tam, when he was going through a particularly difficult subject in learning, so the Maharil wrote that Rabbeinu Tam used to put a pile of gold coins on the table. He would bring a pile of gold coins, and he would be mishtasheya. He would move them around. He would hold the gold coins and move them around as he was trying to focus on this difficult subject. And what was the reason for that? So the Maharil says, kedei laharchiv es daito. What does that mean? To bring to an expansiveness of thought. He would hold these gold coins, whatever this means, he would hold these gold coins, and by holding the gold coins, he would somehow bring to some level of expansiveness. We're talking about Rabbeinu Tam, and the Maharil is writing this, about Rabbeinu Tam. So the Tzemach Tzedek said the following, Afa Chassidim, so it is with the Chassidim. Yeish biyodim b'shas alimud matbeyo shol kesev v'zohav. Because the people were talking about how is it that the Tzemach Tzedek is such a lamdan, you know, how does he have the time to learn so much? So the Tzemach Tzedek said by the Chassidim, when the Chassidim are learning, they hold in their hands golden coins. Elu b'chinas ahava v'yira. Now, according to Kabbalah, gold and silver are ahava and yira. Silver is love of God, and gold is fear of God in Kabbalah. So he said that because when the Chassidim are learning, since they also learn Chassidus, so when they're learning, the Rabbeinu Tam used to actually hold gold coins. But the Chassidim, he says, when they learn, they're holding the lessons of Chassidus, which bring to great fear and love of Hashem. Uchshalomdim kacha halev misanik misrachev. And when they're, because they're learning Chassidus with a hava that awakens the love and the awe and the reverence of Hashem, as a result of that, he said, halev misanig, their hearts delight, umisrachev, and expand, vitzinoras hamoach niftochem, and the channels or the pipelines of the mind begin to open, to expand. So the Tzemach Tzedek himself gave up an explanation. How is it that it was possible to achieve such greatness in learning when so much time was being given to the Olam, to the Chassidim, and to davening and so on? He said, because I'm holding in my hands gold and silver, fear of God and love of God, which he said is awakened through the teachings of Chassidus in the most powerful way. And when a person's mind is open through the teachings of Chassidus, so the mind is open, so the Torah can go in, the Torah goes in first and it stays in there. And that's what Rabbi Yitzchok Chanan himself said about the Tzemach Tzedek. The Tzemach Tzedek was born Chof Tes Elul, the 29th day of Elul, Tovkuf Mem Tes, which by the calendar of the non-Jews comes out to be 1789, which was a busy year in Europe, came out to be 1789 in the city of Liozhny. Liozhny is the place where his grandfather, the Baal Tanya, was at the time, Liozhna. That's where the Baal Tanya was Rebbe. His father, the father of the Tzemach Tzedek, was the Goyen Reb Shalom Shachna, who was the son of Rebbe Noach. And his father was, the Tzemach Tzedek's father was not the Rebbe. His grandfather was also not a Rebbe. The grandfather, Rebbe Noach, was a big tzaddik. He was a close follower of the Rebbe, Reb Mendel Vitebsker, the author of the Pri Haaretz, one of the early, one of the oldest students of the Mezritcher Magid, and considered by many to be, in a certain sense, to have taken over the leadership after the Mezritcher Magid, and somebody who the Baal Tanya was very close to. So the Tzemach Tzedek was the son of Abshalom Shachna, the grandson of Rabbi Noach. His father, this Abshalom Shachna's father, meaning Rabbi Noach, died when Reb Shalom Shachna was still a young man, and the Baal Tanya raised Reb Shalom Shachna, the Alter Rebbe, the Reb Shnei Zalman from Liadi, raised Reb Shalom Shachna in his house, and when he was older, he married Reb Shalom Shachna off to his daughter, the Tzadekis, who we're going to talk about now for a few minutes, Devorah Leah. So Reb Shalom Shachna, I know this is a little bit boring. I say when we go through the, but I want to make sure that everybody gets the historical perspective. Reb Shalom Shachna, who's a great Talmud Chacham, Reb Shalom Shachna married Devorah Leah, the daughter of the Baal Tanya. Reb Shalom Shachna and Devorah Leah had a child, Rabbi Menachem Mendel. That's the Tzemach Tzedek. Okay, so the father is Reb Shalom Shachna, who was not a Rabbi Sheinikel, was not from Rabbis, from followers of Reb Mendel Vitebsker, from Tzaddikim, but not from Rabbis. And the mother, and the Tanya raised this child, the Tzemach Tzedek's father, and married him off to his own daughter, to Devorah Leah. This Devorah Leah is the mother of the Tzemach Tzedek. I'm going to tell you now about Devorah Leah, about the story of her death, because only then we'll understand who the Tzemach Tzedek was. And this is one of the rare, very carefully chronicled stories of Tzadkonios that we have. Generally, the stories are about Tzaddikim, about Rebbes. And here we have about a remarkable woman, Devorah Leah, the mother of the Tzemach Tzedek. And again, we have almost every prat, every detail of the story down pat. You'll see why in a moment. This Devorah Leah, she died when the Tzemach Tzedek was only 3 years old. The Tzemach Tzedek was basically, and their father died a short time later. The Tzemach Tzedek was raised also by the Baal Tanya, by the grandfather. The story is as follows. And again, here this is not just something that's of Hasidic legend. These are things that were witnessed by many, many people and recorded by Tzaddikim who were present. The Baal Tanya realized that because of his efforts to spread the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, particularly during the years, between the years 1774 and 1792, How that's the Baal Tanya's Cheshbon, that's not, I don't know. But particularly during those 18 years, 1774 and 1792, the Baal Tanya's efforts to reveal the teachings of Chassidus in a very profound way, in his own unique Chabad style, which we're going to spend a great time studying the Tzemach Tzedek's writings, and the Baal Tanya revealed that as a result of his spreading the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov in such a strong, in such a short time, in such a strong way, he had awakened a terrible kitrug upon himself. Now, I can't explain this in the context of this class, what a kitrug is. A kitrug means that sometimes when something is very, very precious, you know, like we're careful of ayin hara, and ayin hara is a very meaningful thing, the evil eye. It's just not something that's generally understood what it means, but it's a very powerful thing. There was tremendous opposition to the Baal Tanya by others of the tzaddikim, of the followers of the Baal Shem Tov, who felt that he was revealing teachings of Kabbalah in a way that was inappropriate, and the Baal Tanya suffered terribly both from the Misnagdim, from those who were opposed to Chassidus, and from the Chassidim themselves, Rabbi Avram Kalisker, the Rebbe Baruch Hu Meshbitzer, and others were opposed to the way of the Baal Tanya. As a result of all of this, there was a kitrug, the Baal Tanya realized that his life was in terrible danger and that he was basically doomed. That he was not going to be permitted to remain in the world to reveal these teachings at this time in such a powerful way. For whatever reason that I don't understand, the world wasn't prepared for, and so on. Rabbi Nachman, as you know, Rabbi Nachman Breslover, whose teachings were, together with the Baal Tanya, is considered to be the most radical, the most daring, and the most effective, died when he was 38 years old. And this is not something which is unusual in our history. The Ramchal also died at a very young age, and if you study the Baal Shem was not old either. Those tzaddikim who ushered in new periods of revelations were in danger. So Baal Tanya came to realize that this was going on in his life as a result of those 18 years of teaching. So he began in 1793 or so, I'm not sure the exact year, he began to send out shluchim, messengers, to the kvaros, to the grave sites of the Baal Shem Tov and Mizrach HaMagid, with specific notes that he had there to place upon them and to daven by the graves of these tzaddikim. And we know that he also sent the Pidyon HaNefesh, he sent a kvittel, a note with a request for his life, to the eldest of the remaining students at that time of the Magid, who was the Holy Rebbe, Rav Nochum Chernobyler, and a good friend of the Baal Tanya. So Baal Tanya, we know, sent him a kvittel also, asking that he intercede, that Rav Nochum Chernobyler intercede. We have the tradition of Rav Nochum Chernobyler saw the kvittel, and he remarked that there's nothing he could do about it. It's been decreed, and he can't change. He doesn't have the power to change this decree. And the forces that have risen against the Baal Tanya are too powerful to overcome. And he said he was too old for this. He can't. Rav Nochum Chernobyler says he can't handle it. So the Baal Tanya asked his oldest students. He had followers. Each one of these followers could have been, would have been the Gadol HaDor 10 times over nowadays. And he begged them to daven on his behalf, to be ma'ir rachimim, because of this kitrug, because of this danger that he was in. Now, Dvar Aleya, his daughter, who was married at that time to Reb Shalom Shachna, Dvar Aleya was aware of all that was going on, and she understood that her father was simply waiting to die. I mean, he had pretty much looked like he was finished. She decided that she would try to exchange her life for the life of her father. She decided to offer herself as a kapara for the life of her father, the Tanya, should be able to continue living. And we have details of how she conspired to do so. This is what we've received. Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Tzemach Tzedek, Rabbi Menachem Mendel, Dvar Aleya's child, who we're talking about, the Tzemach Tzedek, reached his third birthday. And the Baal Tanya made a simcha of the Upsharon to give the Tzemach Tzedek his first haircut. I'm sure, very, very deep mystical meaning. There's deep mystical meaning in that whole thing. And he left him the pace and so on. On that day of Erev Rosh Hashanah, we're told that Dvorilei, his daughter, went into a small room that was attached to the Baal Tanya's study. There was a small room that was attached to the Baal Tanya's study, which we'll talk about a little later. This was known among the Chassidim as the Gan Eden HaTachtan, or the Lower Paradise, where the Rebbe's study was called Gan Eden HaElyon, the Higher Paradise. So in that small room that was attached to the Rebbe's study, there were some of the greatest of the Chassidim. There were, from what we're told, there were three of his most prominent eldest students were there, and the Rebbetzin Dvorilei went there into that room, and she went to the Aron Kodesh. She went over to the Aron Kodesh, to the Ark, and she said, "Hinchem Edim." I'm just reading to the words that are recorded. I mean, she said, I'm sure in Yiddish, but this is the way I saw it in the Svarim in Hebrew. She said, "Hinchem Edim Shebifnei Sifrei HaTorah Kedoshim." You are witnesses, she said to these tzaddikim who were there, that I'm saying in front of the Sifrei Torah, that ani mekabelas al atzmi, that I accept upon myself bedas tzlula, with a clear mind, uba'olo b'shvua, with an oath, in the presence of you as a court, I accept as an oath, shani dvarleya b'shterna, that I dvarleya, the daughter of Shterna, machlifa es ovi Rabbi Shneur Zalman ben Rivka shehu yishar b'chaim, that I am exchanging my life for the life that my father, Rabbi Shneur Zalman ben Rivka, should remain alive. No. In the Rebbe Maharayitz, the Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe, recorded in his Diburim, in his Likutei Diburim, the details of what happened. She spoke to these three tzaddikim who were there, who are obviously very, very shocked by this statement. She spoke to them and said that they must listen to all that she commands them, and to swear to her, that this is that they're not going to go tell the Rebbe, not to go tell the Baal Tanya, and they had a meeting. They said, we can't. This is a very, very important decision. We can't decide right now. We have to talk about this overnight, and the decision pretty much was that Dvorilei knows more about her father than we do, and she understands more of these mysteries than we do, and we'll have to hear her out, and we'll have to abide by her decision. So she said the following. Again, her exact words were recorded later on by the tzaddikim. She said, when they came back to her, later that night, she said, "Kulanu chasidei avinu rabbeinu." We are all the chasidim of my father, our Rebbe. "V'kulanu mechuyovim limsar es nafshenu b'poil mamish b'avuro, b'avur teroso teresa b'al shem tov." And we are all obligated to be prepared to give up our lives for his sake and for the sake of the Torah, the teachings of the holy Baal Shem Tov. And then she began to cry, they wrote. She started crying. And at that point, the great tzaddik of Moshe Maizelish, who was one of them, he couldn't bear it anymore. And we're told that he trembled and he jumped up and screamed out, "Ma atem boichim? Why are you crying? Halo anochi harishna holich lomus beish b'mayim bavur abeinu ha-gadol, bavur toras b'al shem tov." I am the one who is prepared. I will go, and I'm prepared to die. I'll go into fire or water for the sake of our Rebbe of the Baal Tanya, and for the sake of the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. Hagiduli malasas vanochi elech b'simcha. Tell me what I must do, and I will tell me what to do, and I will do with great joy. Another tzaddik that was there was the Goyin Rav Moshe Winkler, and he said, he told the other one that this Rav Moshe Winkler was famous for his Yishuv Hadas. They say that he used to be able to sit over a sentence in Maimon Chassidus. He sit over a sentence for 2 weeks. He was very patient. He was an extraordinary deep thinker, Rav Moshe Winkler. So he was very upset about what was going on with the crying and the screaming. He said, this requires Yishuv Hadas. Things are getting out of hand. This has to be with Yishuv Hadas. What does it mean, Yishuv Hadas? This has to be thought out in a calmer way. This is getting out of hand. But Dvorilei refused to listen, and she said to both of these tzaddikim that she's not going to accept what they're saying or what they're suggesting, and she doesn't want to wait at all. It's getting late. And in the end, they swore. In the end, they agreed, and they made a shvua as a bezdin, not to reveal her secret to the Baal Tanya. And I guess this formalized her statement as being halachically, spiritually valid. And then she said the following. Listen to this. Then the Varleya said the following. Shamati mi avi. I heard my father, from my father. Sh'ama shuherotze lichyos. She said, I heard that my father said, the Baal Tanya knew that the Baal Tanya knew his days were numbered. I heard my father saying that he wants to live. Hikach mechuyev adam al pitara, because a person must want to live al pitara. According to the Torah, you have to live. Aval od yoser rotzer ledu lanakeshes ha'ilan. But more important than being alive, my father said that he hasn't finished gardening, taking care of the sapling of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings that have to grow. And it's not so much a question that he's interested, you know, in life. He must continue. He has to continue with his work. Ad sheyiten espiryo, until the fruits will begin to grow. Ad ki yavo shilo, so that Mashiach could come. Mori harav hamagid nishmoso eden omerli, she says in the name of her father, that the Mizvicha Magid, his Rebbe, told him, sheyavoz manim koshim veroim, that the Mizvicha Magid told the Baal Tanya that there are going to be in your life terrible, terrible, difficult times. The Baal Tanya was in jail and had a lot of tzaras. There are going to be terrible, difficult times. V'hiftiachli shebechol eis yazor li. And the Magid promised me that through all these difficulties he will help me. And he did. But then the Baal Tanya told my father, the Varleya says, v'isiyas mori v'esa Baal Shem Tov, that my father said that he saw a vision of the Mizvicha Magid and the Baal Shem Tov, Aval pnehim hayu shcharos, but their faces were black. In other words, there's no more help on the way. There's nothing they could do. And they all began to cry. And this is what she said at the end. Hechlatasi lo seses chaye tmuras chaye ovi. I have decided to give my life for the life of my father. Rotsa ani lios kaparoso. I want to be his kapara, his atonement. Ani no senes es yimei chaye ovi. I give the years of my life to my father. Like we say by Kaparis, I will go to die so that my father will live a long and healthy life. So that he may see the growth of the tree that he planted. And this way I will also merit the Torah of my father. That was the last thing that she said to that Beis Din, to that court. And they were sworn to secrecy. They did not talk to the Tanya, to anybody else, only after the coming events. So this was all taking place Erev Rosh Hashanah, the day of the upsharon of the haircut of the Tzemach Tzedek. On the night of Rosh Hashanah, after davening, the first night of Rosh Hashanah after davening, the Baal Tanya came out from the davening. He used to daven in his room, and the door was, they had the thing opened, so he would hear the davening and answer Amen and so on. But he davened in his private room. And the custom of the Baal Tanya, as was by many of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, was not to talk Rosh Hashanah night, at least the first night, not to talk at all. So the Baal Tanya, in a very uncustomary way, came out from his room, and he said, when he came out from his room, he didn't wish anybody a good yontiv. He just said, where's Dvar Aleia? Where is Dvar Aleia? And they went looking for Dvar Aleia, and they brought her to him. And when he saw her, he went over to her and called out. He began to say Lashona Toiva, to say a good yor to Dvar Aleia, and she interrupted him. After he said the word Lashona, she interrupted him, and she said Lashona Toiva Tichose V'Tichosem to her father. May you be written and sealed for a good year. And then she said, Abba Al Nat Tadaber, father, it's not permitted to speak. That's what she said. On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, she became sick, Dvar Aleia, and she died in some Gedalia. She had not been at all sick before. She died in some Gedalia. She was a very healthy young woman. She died in some Gedalia. The final request that she made of the Baal Tanya was to raise her child, to raise the Tzemach Tzedek. And he promised that he would do that. And we'll see how he did that over the next few weeks. And he said, the last words that he said to her were, B'neich Menachem, your child Menachem, Nochem Huli. He will be a comfort for me. The word Menachem is Nechama. He will be a comfort for me. Nochem Yeloch, he will be a comfort for you. Nochem Yel Yisrael, he will be a comfort, a source of comfort for the entire Jewish people. And that was it. At the funeral, the Baal Tanya said Kaddish, the first Kaddish, and then the Son of Tzedek, who had just turned three, said Kaddish. Menachem Mendel said Kaddish. On Erev Yom Kippur, the Baal Tanya went to the Tzion, went to the gravesite of Dvar Leah, and took the Tzemach Tzedek to the grave. And from what we're told, the Baal Tanya threw himself upon the grave of his daughter and said, Keshem shegedolim tzadikim b'misosom yosem b'chayim, the same way that we know that tzadikim are even greater in death than in life, kach gedola b'chosom shel tzadikim b'misosom yosem b'chayim, so too are the blessings of tzaddikim in their deaths even greater than their blessings were while they were alive. So it says that everybody there began to cry. And then the Baal HaTanya pulled over the Tzemach Tzedek next to him, the grandson, and held his hand. And he called out, Dvarula, Dvaruleya, we have the exact words. There were thousands of people there. He said, Dvarula, Dvaruleya, Bashterna. Hayom Erev Yom Kippurim, today is Erev Yom Kippur. Baruch Inaz Bneich Yechideich, give a blessing to your son, your only son. Hayosom, the orphan Menachem Mendel ben Dvar Leia. Shezeh HaKotn Godol Yiyah B'Torah, Anigla B'Torah, Anis Dar Batzlocha. That this little child should go to become great in the hidden, in the revealed Torah, in the hidden Torah. Arichas Yomim, and to live a long life. Vishonim. Bikshina Rachimim Olai. And then he said, please ask for compassion, ask Hashem to have compassion upon me. Al kahal adas hachasidim, on the community of our followers of the Hasidim, val toras haBaal Shem Tov, and on the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. That was Erev Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur, the Baal HaTanya went with Reb Sholem Shachna, with Dvar Leah's husband, and the Tzemach Tzedek and the child, to the Tzion, to the grave. And he carried the Tzemach Tzedek wrapped in his talus, completely wrapped, that no one should see him and he shouldn't see anything. And he went to the Tzion, and the whole town, the whole Yojna came there. And he called out in a very joyous voice, the Baal Tanya. Again, the exact words, translated from the Yiddish, Mazel Tov Dvarula, Dvarleya Bas Shterna. Hayom ani machnis es b'neich Menachem Mendel ben Dvarleya l'Torah. Today, I am bringing your child, Menachem Mendel, into Torah, into Cheder, into learning. Baruchi also, give him a blessing. Kishem shenichnas l'Torah, ken yikonis l'chupa l'maisim tovim b'arichas yom b'shonim. That the same way he entered into Torah, may he enter into chupa, into maisim tovim, long and healthy years. And the whole oilam that was there gave a big call out, Amen. And after that, the Baal HaTanya brought the Tzemach Tzedek into the Malamed. And the Malamed began to teach him Vayikra, and the Baal HaTanya himself put the candy and the sweet, the sugar, whatever it was, by the letters of the olive base and the Vayikra. And that's the beginning of the life of the Tzemach Tzedek. That's how he became an orphan. That's the story of the tzedekis, Dvar Leah. After that time, the Baal HaTanya, from that time and on, kept the Tzemach Tzedek's bed in his study, his room, wherever he went. He used to bring the Tzemach Tzedek when he was learning, and he took personal care of the Tzemach Tzedek's upbringing, and hired for him a special Rebbe. The story is told that when the Tzemach Tzedek was learning Chumash with this Rebbe that the Baal HaTanya appointed for him, then when the Tzemach Tzedek was learning Chumash, they came to the pasuk Vayechi Yaakov Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shvayesrei Shana, and Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, lived in Egypt for 17 years. So the Melamed told the Tzemach Tzedek, the pshat of the Baal HaTurim, that these were the best years of his life. Vayechi Yaakov, these were the best years of his life, the years that he lived when he was in Egypt. These were the best years of his life. So the Tzemach Tzedek, when he heard that, after he learned that day, he came home to the grandfather of the Baal HaTanya, and he said, Hayitochen, How could that be that Yaakov Avinu, who is the holiest of all the offices of our fathers, how could it be that his best years should be in the most disgusting place, in Mitzrayim, which is the Erev HaSaharis? How could it be such a thing? So Baal Tanya answered that it says in the Torah in Parshas Vayigash, Ves Yehuda Sholach Lefanav El Yosef Laharis Lefanav Goshna. You remember that when Yaakov Avinu found out that Yosef was alive, the first thing he did was he sent Yehuda ahead, as Chazal tells and Rashi brings down, to begin to prepare a yeshiva, to prepare a bismedrash. That's why he sent him ahead, Lahoris Lefan of Goshna, right? Lasakin Beis Vad. The Shvatim, that the tribes, when they would come to Egypt, they would have a yeshiva. So the Tanya said, V'kevan shalomdim Torah miskarvim el HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yochel liyos v'yichi gam b'mitzrayim. And if a Jewish person has Torah, if he's learning, then you could be in the lowest place in the world, Mitzrayim, he could still have a vayichi. It could be the best years. If that's the place where you're going to learn, if you can set up learning. Now, why was it that learning was greater there than was able to be? Apparently, when all the Shvatim were reunited, here you have all the Shiftei cut together in Mitzrayim, learning Torah in the Beis Medrash with the Yaakov Avinu, which we don't usually think about. That's what was going on. I mean, that's how he spent his last years in Mitzrayim, learning with the Shvatim, being together with all the Shvatim. So Tanya told the Tzemach Tzedek that where there's Torah, then there's Vayichi. Where there's learning, then there's life. And the Tzemach Tzedek used to say that from that time on he looked at life in a different way. He understood what life was. From that time that he heard that from his grandfather, that where there's a Beis Vad, where there's Torah, where there's a yeshiva, where there's learning, then there's Vayichi, and without Torah there's no Vayichi. There's no living, there's no life. There's also a story that we have from those early years of the Tzemach Tzedek, that the Tanya, the Baal Tanya asked his grandson, the Pshat in the Pasuk, Ekev Asher Shoma Avraham Bekoli, that because or after Avraham listened to my voice, he obeyed my commandments. So the Baal Tanya asked the Tzemach Tzedek, what's the meaning of that Pasuk, Ekev Asher Shoma? What's the exact meaning of the word Ekev? Which could mean subsequently or so on. Or because. So what's the exact meaning of the word Ekev? So the Tzemach Tzedek said that Avraham Avinu kolat, which is daher, that Avraham Avinu heard as Sivu Hashem afilu ba'akovav, that Avraham Avinu was so close to Hashem, was so tuned in, that he was able to hear the Dvar Hashem even with his heels. The word Ekev, which means subsequently or afterwards, the word Ekev also means a heel. So the Tzemach Tzedek, when he was a little boy, when his grandfather said, what does he mean, Ekev Asher Shoma? What does he mean, Ekev? So, Ekev Asher Shoma. So the Tzemach Tzedek said that Avraham Avinu was listening so carefully that he was able to daher the Torah, he was able to hear the Torah even with his foot, even with his Ekev. So they say that the Baal Tanya rejoiced very much he was very happy with that answer. I mean, at that time, I'm talking about the Tzemach Tzedek was only 3 years old. He was very, very happy with that answer. I'd be happy with my kid if he said that he's already 9 years old. So he was happy. And then we're told that he said that that's the meaning of when it says in Devarim, the parasha, the beginning of the pasuk, Vahaya Ekev Tishma'un, that ultimately, subsequently, the Jewish people will hear. So the Tanya says, Yitzaruch Yehudi Lishma Kol Kula Al Mitzvah Hashem, that a Jew has to listen to Hashem completely, not just with his ears, completely. Afilu HaEkev, even the heel of a person, which is that part of your body that hardly feels anything. You know, the bottom of the heel is so rough, it doesn't feel anything. It's rough. And it's furthest from the mind. That's the furthest point in the human body from thought, from intellect. But he says, the Tanya says, that a yid has to hear, after hearing, even all the way down in the Ekev. Kol Hashem tzarech lachdor lefafeya b'chol shir kamal. So the word of Hashem, he says, has to penetrate and bubble. And boil, even in the entire Shir HaKaima, in the entire Jew. Mimokim HaMoichin HaDarga HaTachtona B'yoser B'chinas Ekev. From the highest level, mamish down to the lowest level. The Dvar Hashem has to hit the person. From the highest level. So in other words, don't just mean that you hear, when you hear a good Vart. Why is it, we have such a Maisa by us in our times here, that you could hear like unbelievable Torah, and you can go from hearing unbelievable Torah, like right away, God forbid, do an aveir, like to do something wrong. I remember once I was in Yerushalayim, we used to go hear certain Baal Musa when I was in before I was married, and was like I was 19 years old, 20. So I went to hear a certain Baal Musar, gave a sicha, and the whole shmuz that night was about lashon hara. He was from the Gedolei HaMusar, I mean, a real person, a big person. So he gave a whole thing on lashon hara, and walking out, and like the guys are talking about the shmuz. This guy says gevalde, unbelievable gevalde. So the other one says, tell you the truth, I went to this other. He says another Baal Musar, I hold it's much better than this. So I was thinking, you know, I said, what a shame. I mean, the whole thing was, I mean, I was going to listen, I was going to wait at least a half hour until I spoke lashon hara, you understand? It wasn't, don't get me wrong, it's not like, you know, it made any permanent, but I was going to wait a half hour. But this guy, like, he says, nah, it's not. About the tzaddik who just said the shmuz and lashon hara. So I was thinking, you know, how it's possible to hear something intellectually, and there's nothing like, oh, it's interesting, it's a gewaldige thing, but it's not, you know, you're not collated. Like, even, let me explain, you know, even Esav's head rolled into the Maros Machpelah, you know? So there's such a thing that a person's head can absorb good thoughts. So Esav's head, Esav knew a lot. What do you think, Esav was Tama? You don't think Esav would have done better on his entrance examination to yeshiva? He knew how to learn. He had a mind that was filled with concepts of holiness. The problem is that they never quite made it down through the heart and the kishkes and to the feet. You know, they never made it to that place that the person became in ganzen Torahdik, to become saturated with Torah. So it's true that Esav's head was able to roll into the Maros Machpelah because that part of him had good things rolling on. You know, inside of Esav's head there were good things, but the rest of him was the rest of Esav was mechus l'machna. So it was outside the camp of holiness. When the Tanya said to his grandson, that a Jew has to hear Torah mamash down to the feet. So it means even if you're not, even if for the moyach, you know, it's a day that your mind isn't working, and even if the heart is, God forbid, you're going through a time when the heart is cold, but the ekev of a Jew, you know, the feet of a Jew have to take him to the right place. Like it says about David HaMelech, that Hayuraglei Malichas Hasiel Beis HaMedrash, that I would start off. David HaMelech used to say, I would start the day going to, I thought I was going to go one place, and I always ended up back in yeshiva. Because David HaMelech's feet believed in the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. He had what the Svarim call Emunas HaYevarim. It's not just that he intellectually and emotionally was attached to Hashem. His body became, his body itself became permeated with a lakus, with godliness. And this is the story that I told you, that I mentioned again on Shabbos. I'm sorry for repeating so soon after I just told the Maaseh here in Shul, but the Maaseh fits in here. It's the Tzemach Tzedek and the Tanya. So the Maaseh that I mentioned here on Shabbos was I told it once before, but then I saw that the way that I had said it originally was not the most accurate way. Then I saw in a more reliable source this way, that when the Tzemach Tzedek was very little, he was when he was just mamash a baby, he was sitting on the Baal Tanya's lap, and he took hold of the Baal Tanya's beard. He started pulling the Baal Tanya's beard, and he said Zaydi, Zaydi. The Baal Tanya didn't say anything. He said Zaydi. So Baal Tanya said, that's not Zaydi, that's Zaydi's beard. And then he was quiet for a long time. Baal Tanya was, you know, whatever, he was flying wherever he was flying. And then the Tzemach Tzedek said, started pulling his peyas, Zaydi! Zaydi! And he's pulling, and the Tanya said to him, that's not Zaydi, that's Zaydi's peyas. And then he touched his, pulled his arm. Zaydi, he says, that's not Zaydi, that's Zaydi's arm. And then the Tzemach Tzedek was quiet. And he was playing, he went to play. We'll talk about that later on, how the Baal Tanya used to leave him to play in the room there, even though some of the Chassidim would get very annoyed. Even was giving sometimes his deepest teachings in Chassidus, that someone said he used to run around to make trouble as a little kid. And the Baal Tanya used to always tell him, Hanachle, Hanachle, leave, don't bother him. Don't bother him. He used to let him play there. So the Tzemach Tzedek was playing, and what happens, and the Baal Tanya was whatever he was doing, and the Tzemach Tzedek got his finger, the little baby got his finger caught in the door. That's very painful. The door closed on his finger. And he started to scream and cry. He started to scream, Zaydi, 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 scream. So the Baal Tanya, he heard him screaming, and the Baal Tanya snapped out of his trance, whatever, and he went running over there. And the Tanya was calling the Tzemach Tzedek all over the Maaseh, that the Baal Tanya was saying, Vay, Vay, Mendele, Mendele, Vay, you know, what is it? What happened, Mendele? And he found him there over there, and the Tzemach Tzedek was sitting with his finger still in the door. And he said to him, oh, this is, and the Tzemach Tzedek says, you see, this is Taka Zaydi. This is Zaydi. In other words, when something, what the Tanya was saying is, that's not Zaydi, it's Zaydi's beard. That's not Zaydi and Ganson. It's not the entirety of who I am. It's my beard. And the pace is not the Zaydi. It's a part of Zaydi. But the love for my grandson, this is, that's the entire Zaydi. That's the whole picture, from head to toe. That's the whole thing. Ahava, love, from head to toe, mamish. So that's what the Tzemach Tzedek said. Oh, my studies, this is Zaydi. Now I see this is Zaydi. Now I see this is Zaydi. The Zaydi's heart is, from head to toe, is filled with the love for me. You know, they say about the Baal Tanya that it was in Shul Kol Nidre Night, famous Meiser, Kol Nidre Night. Who could imagine what it was like there by the Baal Tanya, Kol Nidre, with thousands of people, and what was going on? And they say that all of a sudden he threw his talus off his head and he went running out to the back of the, he went running from the Shul, and everybody knew what was going on. And they, and people got nervous, and they saw that he went to the back there, and there was a baby that was crying, and he picked up the baby, and he was going, shh, 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 shh. Like he was babysitting. He was holding the baby. And they saw that it was a mamish revealed miracle, that there were thousands of people screaming out davening, And no one, not even the child's mother heard that there was a baby, because the mothers came to leave it and left the babies in the back. No one heard that there was a baby crying. So they saw it was a revealed miracle. So they said to them, and not only that, but you can be sure the Baal Tanya was concentrating on davening, you understand. It's not like, you know, a person's not concentrating, they could hear. Even then it was impossible to hear. So the people staying in Baal Tanya said that when a Jewish child is crying without hearing, you have to hear such a thing. If you're tuned in, you hear it. You have to hear. And that's in Chabad, I mean, that whole Indian of hearing, which we'll talk about more later on, that Rav Zevin, all of a sudden, the famous Rav Zevin, who had been by the Rebbe Rashab, he was an old Chabad host, Rav Zevin, that Rav Zevin said about the Rashab from Lubavitch, that he lost his hearing in 1 year. That he lost his hearing in 1 year. What happened? The Rashab from Lubavitch was deaf in 1 year. I mentioned this once in the Shi, he was deaf. Because what happened once is that the Rashab from Lubavitch was giving a Maimon Chassidus. He used to talk, the Rashab from Lubavitch used to talk, they say, up to 12 hours straight in Kabbalah and Chassidus with his eyes closed. And they said the Oilam people used to go and come, and this, you know, whoever was able to concentrate. They have from him an entire Sefer on one Pasuk, like 600 page Svarim on one Pasuk. He used to talk like this. It was like Amayin Hamizgaber, the Rashab. Amayin Hamizgaber. It was awesome. So the Rashab was once, when the Rashab used to talk, Rav Zevin said that when he used to talk, when he used to say a thing in Chassidus, so the Rashab used to say all the time, shh, shh, shh. Well, no one was making any sound. No one would dare say it. There wasn't a sound, but he used to always go, shh, shh. Because he was quieting his thoughts, because there were things like rushing into his mind. He used to go, shh. Shh. That's whenever he would speak, he would do that. I mean, now rabbis do that for other reasons, you understand. But he was quieting his thoughts. So that once happened that in the back of the Beis Medrash, all the way in the back, there were a couple of chassidim that, you know, they couldn't follow what was going on. They were schmoozing in the back. And it was disturbing the Rashab. Rav Zevin heard this in the Rashab, that it was disturbing his concentration. He couldn't concentrate. And he didn't want to embarrass them. So he tried not to hear them. And the Rashab said that it worked too well, and for the rest of his life, he was deaf on that ear. On that side, he could no longer hear the rest of his life. He shut off his hearing, and he couldn't hear the rest of his life. The koch hashmiya, what it means to listen, and what not to listen to, and what to listen to. At any rate, this is the lesson that the Tzemach Tzedek received when he was a child of Akiv, of hearing. He himself said, and his grandfather explained, of hearing in Gansen, to hear with one's entire being. The Tzemach Tzedek, from the time that he was a little child, was recognized as being an Elui Nifla, as being the most astounding child prodigy of the generation in terms of his brilliance. And he said an interesting thing. When he was older, the Tzemach Tzedek said, "Kvar migil shalosh edvichani hasaba hadracha rabasi." The Tzemach Tzedek said, from the time that I was 3 years old, my grandfather began to give me clear instructions. Clear instructions. Hidrich osi lios mesuder. And what he emphasized most, the Baal Tanya, when I was a child, was that I should be mesuder, organized. That I should be mesuder. The Baal Tanya was a Litvak, you know that. The Baal Tanya's organizational koiches were amazing. Everything was with the zman, with time. To the second, he had everything worked out in a day. To the second. And he had, by the way, the Baal Tanya's watch had a different time. We have Meisner, that he had a different time. It happened once that there was an Adam Gadol that came to see, a big person came to see the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya had something with a clock, as we watched, because we're told that wherever he went, he used to always take out, you know, he had one of these things on a chain, and he used to always put this in front of him. He was always touching it and looking at it, and he was with this watch, something, I don't know. So they said one time a big Rav came to see the Baal HaTanya, and the Baal HaTanya excused himself that he'll come back in a few minutes. And this Rav was just sitting around there waiting for the Baal HaTanya. And he looked at the Baal HaTanya's watch, and he saw that it was like 2 minutes off, and he did a favor for the Baal HaTanya. And he fixed, you know, the watch. And it was sitting on the table on the side. So the Baal HaTanya came in, and he's sitting there, and he sees the Baal HaTanya is like very, very nervous. And he can't concentrate. And the Baal HaTanya said, "Somebody touched my watch." And the man, you know, he gave the watch to the rabbi. I just wanted to fix the time. So Tanya was very upset, and he said, "My time is the right time." So he said, "I have it set in the right way, my time." And later on, when he was in prison by the Russians, when he was imprisoned, the whole mice of when the Tsar himself came to test to see who he was, and he came into the cell of the Baal HaTanya, and the Baal HaTanya stood up, and he was dressed as a guard. I'm not going to get into it right now. But he was when the Tsar came to see him, he was wearing towels and tefillin. So the Tsar, it was a dungeon, there were no windows or anything, and he had been there for a long time. So the Tsar said, "I know that according to your Torah, you don't put on tefillin at night. Why are you wearing tefillin at night?" So the Baal HaTanya, he didn't have any watch with him. They took all the things away. So but he was able to get towels and tefillin. It was a whole nice with that too, he had permission to have that. So Baal HaTanya said the exact time, whatever it was, like, you know, 6:41, something like that, he said in the morning. So the Tsar said, "How do you know that? How do you know what time it is?" So he said, "Because by the movement of the higher world, I know what the time is down in the world below." That's what he said. "I know, by, like the Shiva Samalachim, by the songs of the angels. Because every moment there's a different song. So as you came, this is the song of the Malachim. This is the song that they're singing right now." Yeah, they don't make them like this anymore. They don't make them like this. So so he said that my grandfather taught me to be very mesuder, to be very organized. When I was 5 years old, when I became five, so my grandfather told me that a person has to struggle more to be organized than to be a lamdan. You don't have to worry about lamdas right now, about being a great scholar. You have to worry about being organized, about being a suder. If you'll be a suder, then it'll work out. You have to be organized. When he was 7 years old, we know that by that time he already was pretty much proficient in the entire Shas. By the time he was seven, he was already, made a siyum on Shas. He completed the Shas the first time, many, many times in his life. He completed it when he was 7 years old. And at that time, the Tanya had a chavrusa with him in Gemara, Rashi taught in Gemara, and we shown him in tremendous, tremendous depth. One last little story now. After the Tzemach Tzedek became famous later on, which when he became a big Rebbe, became famous as a Rebbe, so he visited Vilna, and we're going to talk about that visit to Vilna and to Minsk. He visited the stronghold of the Misnagdim, where he was honored. He was shown tremendous, tremendous honor. He visited Vilna, and in Vilna he met the famous guy in the great Tzaddik, Reb Abula Pasviler. Reb Abula was already known as one of the greatest of the generation at the time of the Vilna Gaon, the time of the Gra. He was already considered one of the greatest of the generation of learning, and by this time he was very, very old, Reb Abula from Vilna. He spoke to the Tzemach Tzedek, who was a young man. He spoke to the Tzemach Tzedek in learning, and he saw that his bekiyus, his knowledge of Torah, and the depth of his knowledge was absolutely astounding. So it says that he was so overwhelmed that he grabbed the Tzemach Tzedek and he said, "You're so young, how have you reached all of this?" So the Tzemach Tzedek's answer was, "Yesh lanu brocha mizikneinu, I have a blessing from my grandfather. That anything that I ever saw once in my life, I'll never forget." that the Tanya gave him such a bracha, anything that he ever saw in learning, or heard in learning, ever in his life, he would never forget. So we're going to stop here, Mitzvah Shem, and next week we'll continue through the years the Tzemach Tzedek becoming the leader of the Chabad Chassidim, and then one of the most interesting episodes in the history of Chassidus is the war of the Tzemach Tzedek against the Enlightenment, against the Haskalah, where he joined forces with Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhiner, the son of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner, which I think more than anything the relationship between these two great men sort of began to put an end to the entire battle between the Hasidim and Misnagdim. Till nowadays, it really doesn't mean much anymore. I mean, there's still a few people that might be correcting, but it's really, for the most part, there's no real Nechama. That's already finished. Okay, Shkar.